You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There, do you believe he moved?
Putin's intention was never to go to war. It's not popular for Russians to want to see their troops go to war. He doesn't have the money to do it, but he's willing to do it if he can win something. Yeah. And he smells blood in the water, and that's what we're seeing him do.
I've got to leave it there. Do you believe he moves in?
I think that if he's going to move in, it's going to be between February 20th and March 1st, between the last day of the Olympics and the day that he has to give his State of the Union address. And so it's up to Biden and NATO to pull it together, strengthen our spine, deter by sending anti-tank, anti-aircraft missiles, and make sure that we really deter Russia by putting sanctions in place and letting them know we mean business.
We mean business. Those are the words of former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, serving for 2 years. And she's pointing out something that we all can understand. Biden sees blood in the water. Putin sees blood in the water. He knows Biden is weak. He's looked at how he handled Afghanistan. And at this point, Putin is going to continue pushing every button he can. Why should he not? We are broadcasting from a remote location today because tested positive with COVID, and so we hope we'll still be able to carry this off effectively for you as Captain Joe Garcia, engineering staff, and Mark Metcalf have been pulling this together. So I think we got a great program for you. I know we do. We just hope we get through it technically, so bear with us from time to time. But in response again back to Biden, does he have a clear plan on Ukraine-Russia? Secretary of State Blinken just announced that the U.S. delivered written responses to the demands made by Russia. These are demands that were made back in December that included a promise to not admit Ukraine as a member of NATO and withdraw troops from that region. So what Blinken has said, we have now sent them a written response, hand-delivered, to the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Moscow. They're not releasing details of the public document at this point. We think, he said, diplomacy has the best chance to succeed if we provide space for confidential talks. Whether or not the information leaks out, we'll have to wait and see. Back-channel communications, negotiations between countries are often to an advantage to all involved. We'll have to see if this works. Because right now, we still have something like 100-plus thousand Russian troops around Ukraine, around its borders. Senate Democrats are worried about borders. I told you this the other day. They don't really care about our southern border of this country. But, oh, yeah, we're concerned about the border around Ukraine. Well, I have concern for them. But until you show me you're serious about securing our border, I don't think you know what you're doing. There, I said it. Now, I am going to be joined later by guest Stephen Bryan, Center for Security Policy. He said there is still time to negotiate peace in the Ukraine issue. So we'll hope that that will actually come to pass, because if it doesn't, then we are going to have a hard time getting anything else done. So we'll get into that. We also have breaking news today on several fronts. 82-year-old liberal Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is retiring. And also Nancy Pelosi announces She's running again. She will be 82 in March. Now, with that in mind, this gives Biden a chance to nominate a Supreme Court justice, another liberal. Breyer was put in by Bill Clinton back in 1994. Nancy Reagan does not mean she will end up being Speaker of the House if Republicans get it back and get control in 2022. We got a lot to cover. Let your friends and neighbors know. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The president has conveyed directly to President Putin, if there is the movement of any military troops across the border, that is an invasion. If they go in, that is an invasion, and there will be severe economic consequences.
I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable. If it invades, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, et cetera. My guess is he will move in. He has to do something.
Well, of course, that was the other day when we were getting mixed messages from the White House. And Biden made those remarks that if there's an incursion, then we'll see what happens. In other words, we're going to be not proactive, we will be reactive. So today, as I pointed out in the opening monologue, a letter has been hand-delivered to Russia, their foreign minister in D.C. anyway, to then convey that to Putin, answering some of his demands and questions and issues. Whether or not that's going to mean anything is still not clear. And when you hear Saski say, the president's made it very clear, he hasn't made anything very clear. He hasn't made anything very clear to the American public. He hasn't made anything very clear to Putin. And I would imagine the folks of Ukraine are also saying, this looks like a replay of Obama when they were facing Russia and Crimea. At that time, the only thing that was sent on behalf of the U.S. government were basically blankets. This time, we have apparently sent several million dollars worth of various equipment. Exactly what is not clear. But it's a concern that for Ukraine, is this president going to be as strong as they probably assume Trump would be? And the very fact that Trump is not in office is why Putin is moving forward like this. He's testing him. And while testing Biden over the Ukraine issue, China is watching. North Korea is watching. The whole world is watching. And I'm not so sure that we're looking that strong. But speaking for the Department of Defense, here's John Kirby.
The United States will act firmly in defense of its national interests in response to actions by Russia that harm us, our allies, our partners. All told, the number of forces that the Secretary has placed on heightened alert comes up to about 8,500 personnel. We're going to be ready. We're going to be prepared to help bolster our allies with capabilities they might need.
They might need 8,500. Now, we knew this the other day. They put the word out that we were going to have 8,500 personnel deployed around the area. That apparently not going to be actually in Ukraine, but around the edges of Ukraine and ready for what? We're not sure. And I'm not for jumping ahead and starting to suggest what we should be doing. I don't want to do that. I think it's very important that we keep some cards close to the vest, but you still have to show that, hey, I'm not bluffing. I've got a strong hand. Don't test me. So today the word coming out again that the U.S. and a handful of allies all in discussions to this point, maybe thousands more. So we've got deployments by Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, the U.S. and the U.K. considering additional pre-invasion deployments, but not all 30 NATO members are willing. And in fact, NATO allies are not exactly on the same page about how serious a threat is from Russia. Germany, for instance, and here's a key point. Germany has refused to sell any new weapons to Ukraine. Well, now, Larry, why would that be? Riddle me that. Why would Germany decide at this point, you know, let's just don't rattle Putin's cage that much? That's because Germany is looking forward to getting energy from Russia through that pipeline that Biden was willing to sign off on to go into Europe from Russia, making Europe more dependent upon Russia for energy, while at the same time killing the Keystone pipeline in the U.S. and the jobs that went with it. So when Press Secretary John Kirby said Monday that we'd put 8,500 troops on heightened alert, They are what? We don't know. And again, I'm not for saying anything out of order and early that would jeopardize our troops. I sincerely believe there are times that we just have to trust the administration is doing what it needs to be doing. Problem we're facing, Biden was originally planning to deliver remarks to the public with the situation of Russia, but at this point, he's going silent. That's why the handwritten letter was delivered to the Russian ambassador in Washington today. We're still getting word, pretty much what we had been getting. In fact, during a daily briefing yesterday, again, Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, said
when we said it was imminent, it remains imminent. But again, we can't make a prediction of what decision President Putin will make. We're still engaged in diplomatic discussions and negotiations. The Ukrainian officials push back on Saskia's language. They say the situation with Russia, dangerous, but not imminent. I think probably what could be happening, and we're going to have an expert coming up on this later in this hour, is that Ukraine is having more and more concern about what is going to happen if Russia decides to carry out a minor incursion. And what is a minor incursion? And what would trigger U.S. reaction? I'm not for us getting into a war in Ukraine. I'm not for us putting our troops in danger. But, of course, we also know that if you give Russia one step forward, they're going to take 100 yards. We're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later with my guest, Stephen Breyer. He is with the Center for Security Policy, and he says we still do have some time to negotiate a peace. That's what Breyer's thinking at this point, so I'll be interested in some additional comments from him on that later. But let me turn the corner for right now and get to this major breaking news. No, it does not involve Pelosi. Yes, she said she's going to run again. She has not said she will be Speaker of the House, and the reason she can't say that is she doesn't know that Democrats are going to control the House after 2022. I'm talking about not so much her running for office again, but that Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is retiring. This is key. This is key to the extent that Biden will now have a chance to nominate someone to the U.S. Supreme Court. We know it's going to be someone liberal. At this time, Breyer says he's planning on staying on until the decision is made. He's 83. He'll probably stay on until the end of the court term and until a replacement is named. That's according to one source. He did tell Biden of his plans last week and is officially going to announce the retirement tomorrow at the White House. Biden's pick of putting another liberal isn't going to change the balance of the court. We recognize that because it's going to be just another liberal. The court currently has six conservative justices appointed by Republican presidents. Three of those, I point out to you, appointed by President Trump. Just imagine if Hillary had won and not Trump, and she would have had a chance to make three Supreme Court appointments. We could probably expect this time around there'll be some Senate battle. I don't know if Republicans in the Senate will try to get as nasty as we saw the Democrats get with Trump nominees like Kavanaugh, bringing witnesses out of from nowhere who knew nothing except that we've got to do something to stop this court from going this direction. And to that extent, not just Democrats, but the pro-life movement has been happy with where we are, but the pro-abortion movement, well, they are afraid that this court has to change. Replacing Breyer is not going to do that for them. Those among the considerations at this point, the list is not very clear. And in fact, when Biden was asked some what kind of remarks, what kind of response you have about Chief Justice Stephen Breyer retiring. Biden just simply told reporters, every justice has the right to decide what he or she is going to do and announce that on their own. There's been no announcement from Justice Breyer. Let him make whatever statement he's going to make. I'll be happy to talk about it later. That's what he told reporters just an hour or two ago in the state dining room. And yet, Breyer says, I'd already told the president the other day. And they've already set up the confab for tomorrow. Biden's response to me sounds like, well, I didn't even know this was coming. We're going to have to continue to watch that. But I will say this. The Senate Judiciary Chair, Dick Durbin of Illinois, said, I'm going to move Biden's nominee through the committees as fast as I can. And there's a push already from Democrat lawmakers. You need to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court. We're not talking about qualifications. We're talking about gender and race. That's our new definition of what makes a Supreme Court justice. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will get into some more details of what's happening at the border, because it's not getting any better. And then we will again pick up on Ukraine with my special guest. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and we are broadcasting remotely today. I'll fill you in more at the end of this hour, but I had a sore throat, as you know, and it did a COVID rapid test, came back positive. I wasn't surprised. I feel fine. I'm good. But just for station protocol and CDC protocol, whatever the hell it is lately, what no one really knows, I'm going to be broadcasting from home, not going in the station today, tomorrow, and we'll see what happens Friday. But I want to look at for a moment. We now have some numbers out that show Biden's Homeland Security chief basically had the welcome mat out for 100,000 migrants in December. That's agency data. It does not include the getaways, those who sneak across and go wherever they want without being caught at all. And it indicates that our Cuban-born pro-migration, the guy that's supposed to be in charge, by the way, of protecting our border, Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, by the time all the numbers are actually tallied from last year and going into 2022, we're going to have 2 million migrants. That's going to be one migrant for every 2 American births in 2022. One migrant for every 2 Americans born, plus hundreds of thousands of visa workers. My article says, well, all these are, you know, they have various excuses. They're eligible for asylum, or they are unaccompanied alien children. They can't be easily flown back home. They make excuse after excuse. one Fox station in L.A. pointed out we witnessed a federal government mass releasing of single adult migrants, almost all men, at a parking garage. Taxi cabs were called for them. We followed the taxis to the airport where the migrants had dropped off to get to flights to wherever they wanted to go. How about that? How would you like a flight like that? And I will tell you this, not one of them had an ID that they could show to get on board the plane. Probably not even tested for COVID. And we don't know where they're all going. The Dallas Morning News described this current situation for wage increases a few days ago, pointing out the demand is so intense in the North Texas construction industry that wages rose 10% over the last year for high-demand framers, bricklayers, so forth, things of that nature. But then, of course, they ignored the wage-cutting impact of Biden's inflation. What we have happening now, as more and more foreigners are pulled in, we're going to see more cheap labor. That means that many folks are going to find suddenly that there are no good high-paying jobs because they got people that will work a lot less. And so you have many CEOs and investors who are going to benefit. This is what we want for this country. And in the meantime, inflation. You know, we've got a lot of problems. And we have an administration, again, who doing all the concern possible for the border of Ukraine. But for our southern border, yeah, so what? Back with my special guest on Ukraine and a possible negotiation tactic when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Back. My guest, we're still trying to establish contact. I'm waiting to see the word that we've got him online as we're operating remotely today. Stephen Bryan wrote a piece that Newsweek magazine picked up on, an opinion piece, basically that renewed negotiation can still ensure peace in Ukraine. Now, Stephen Bryan is with the Center for Public Security Policy. He's obviously been down this road before. He knows about security strategy and technology. He's held senior positions in the Department of Defense and others as well, also serving as the president of a large multinational defense and tech company. His articles also appear in the Asia Times, American Thinker, Jewish Policy Center. Four books on security subjects. So I really hope we can get him established. I'm waiting for a text to show that we do have him online, and so far I don't see it. But while we're waiting, let's go back into some of the things he brings up in this article that I think are certainly worthy at this point, because we need to know if we're going to be able to pull some of this stuff off or not. When it comes to Ukraine, it is his position that at this point we still do have time to actually have an engagement short of war when it comes to dealing with Ukraine and Russia. His belief is as he was quoted in this article, that the way we get into that, the way we make it happen, is that we basically go back to the approach that Winston Churchill tried, but I have to admit that it did not work. Winston Churchill, Stephen Bryan points out in his article, used the phrase, jaw, jaw, jaw is better than war, war, war. In other words, just keep talking. The more we're talking, the less possibility we either have military action or some misunderstanding. As I told you earlier, today Secretary Blinken did send over a letter to the Russian diplomat in D.C., answering some of the concerns, questions, demands that Putin himself had been made. I just got a message from Stephen. Let's see if this is going to be the same thing that we're trying to reach. You have to bear with me. As I said, when we're operating remotely like this, there are a lot of things you're just not sure if you're getting information in a timely fashion or not. But I'm looking at right now on information he's saying, and we're using the number he gave us earlier. I hope we can get him on for you. I apologize about this. This is how you watch the making of a sausage. This is why sometimes you do not want to do anything that might deter you from eating sausage again. And if you watch it, you might decide, yeah, I don't know that I really like that. I mean, let me pass this number along to that group here. And, I think we got the same number. It's one of you sent me. And that's the one we're trying to reach, but apparently we're just not able to make it happen. So I don't think it's going to happen. When we're calling, it's still busy, so I'm not sure what has happened at that point. But let me get back to the article. I'm spending enough time on the technical stuff. Let me deal with the actual article, because that's really more important to me than what we're doing here. When we're looking at what we have from these incursions, as we're trying to, I guess we're trying to believe that this is what we mean by that with Russia and Ukraine, words become critical. It is a matter of semantics. It truly is, because the issue being that when Biden made his remark the other day that incursions, what does that mean? You're talking about a military event incursion. That means troops, boots on the ground in your territory. The meaning, as pointed out by Stephen Bryan, in a meeting with the Russian foreign minister, Secretary of State Blinken did warn of, quote, massive consequences should Russia invade Ukraine. And British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has warned that a lightning war in Ukraine could not be ruled out, and that it would be painful, violent, and bloody. And as you know, over the weekend, the families of American embassy personnel were ordered to leave the area. One side note on that. It's kind of funny, yet it's not. Some have said they're going to be safer there than if you bring them back and put them in some of our cities where crime is running rampant. They'd be a lot safer inside Ukraine. But here's the issue that Stephen Bryan also points out. Ukraine is not a NATO member and cannot claim NATO troops. That's been the whole issue here for Putin. He does not want NATO getting any closer to him. Ukraine is more Democrat, more freedom-loving than Russia by far. And if they were to become a member of NATO, that means when one NATO member is attacked, then other NATO members are almost obliged to respond. It is his point that the message should be negotiation. And he said the Ukrainians have ducked their responsibility to negotiate with Russia under the auspices of the Organization for Security and Cooperation, and that Ukraine is actually pushing NATO, and that would mean us, the U.S., into an unwinnable war. It's Brian's position that Washington, that would mean Biden in the White House, should be facilitating negotiations under the treaty and making it clear that without that, Ukraine will get no help from the U.S. or from NATO. And he said that message I just read for you, not coming from the West, and the prevailing view in Washington is that we can deter Russia by making bigger and bigger threats, he said it doesn't accomplish things. He said a more workable approach, along with pushing the Ukrainian president to the table, would be to put in place a negotiator respected by all sides. European leaders, according to Stephen Bryan, and again, he has expertise to know of what he speaks, that they are too weak. He said perhaps the only person with the stature and gravitas, the understanding of both sides who can come to the rescue, is former German Prime Minister Angela Merkel. But again, Germany is dependent upon Moscow for energy and trade. Putin would probably like to see Merkel because he knows that she's going to be leaning more to his side in the beginning. And it all gets back to that pipeline that Biden signed off on and said, yeah, let them go ahead and go through that pipeline and let Russia basically control the energy going in to Europe and in particular Germany. I mentioned to you earlier that we are not getting anything from Germany when it comes to adding any troops or forces. There are troops and forces coming in from elsewhere, but not from Germany. Does that not make it clear enough to you as to what's at stake here and why we are not going to be able to get a cohesive response in dealing with Ukraine and Russia? And if we don't continue talking, then the next thing could well be the incursion, boots on the ground, things escalate. Hopefully not. Coming up, Bob Costa being challenged by the Chinese.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, of course, China is extremely happy to be holding the Olympics, Beijing. We never should have agreed to the U.S. Olympic Committee to allow the games to be held in China, that dictatorship and its genocide of Uyghur Muslims and slave labor using them and others. It was a very stupid idea. And even Mike Pompeo, who had served under President Trump, Secretary of State, said we should have been stronger on that. We should have put our foot down and said no way. But the Olympics are still scheduled, and the concern expressed by many is what kind of danger are our participants going to be in, those from the West, especially the U.S. First of all, they have to recognize if they're taking their cell phones and things of that nature, assuming they're going to be allowed to take them in, I don't know where we stand on that at this point, they're going to basically open themselves up to vicious future hack attacks now and are 10, 15, 20 years into the future. Same thing, you know, with computers, anything else. The Chinese are going to have, for every American participant, you can almost guarantee 20 to 30 different spies watching that particular American participant. Oh, Larry, you're really exaggerating. All right, maybe not 20 or 30. How about 5? Would you accept that? But, of course, China only wants to have the good news put out. The Global Times, which is the state newspaper, is now blasting sportscaster Bob Costas. Bob, of course, of St. Louis, starting his career in St. Louis, because he dared criticize China's woeful record of freedom of the press. And he also criticized the International Olympic Committee for allowing the Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. In fact, in an interview with CNN, Costa said the International Olympic Committee was deserving of whatever disdain critics wanted to heap upon them for choosing a country that openly spies on athletes and journalists to host the games. That's not just a guesstimate that they're going to be spied on. They are. In fact, Costas said, we should preface this by saying that no one could have anticipated COVID, no matter the venue. But the IOC deserves all the disdain and disgust for going back to China yet again. They were in Beijing in 2008, in Sochi in 2014. They're shameless about this stuff. He said, and there's always spying and censorship. So the Global Times, representing the Chinese Communist Party's response, was, Costas may ignorantly believe he can represent the world, but that he is basically showing arrogance, prejudice, rude, saying all of those words are accurate to describe him. I think, you know, Bob Costa's probably got a nice feather in his cap for that, having the Chinese communists call him out as being rude, prejudiced, and arrogant. The CNN's Brian Stelter, by the way, even got attacked by the Global Times. And Brian Stelter is a shill, not a reporter in any fashion. He's always a liberal shill. But he did mildly claim that journalists would face a unique challenge balancing politics and sports. And for that, he got called out. So I guess he feels, oh, yeah, see, I'm pretty strong too. I'll stand up against the commies. I still say, and it hurts me to admit it, but I mean, on one hand, I want our players to have a chance to win gold, silver, whatever they might have available that they can get. But then again, at what cost going forward? Coming up in the next hour, more focus upon Ukraine, Russia, and also some other issues which are going to continue to occupy our nation, and in particular, Nancy Pelosi says, everybody wants me back. I'll be running. I'm going to run again. And yet at the same time, you've got the Democrats saying right now, this is the kind of stuff they claim that Trump was making up. They're already claiming the 2022 election is rigged. And yet they're still trying to back out and say, well, we didn't really mean it that way. Yeah, you did. If you're a Trumper, you can't say it. If you're a Democrat, you can say whatever the hell you want.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.